Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The report is the Democratic National Convention includes a platform that is looking but a tough but smart, that's a quote, U.S.-China policy. I welcome Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, and we welcome Steve Yates, our colleague, to help us on this tough but smart U.S. policy. Given a report in the New York Times, Steve is chair of the America First Policy Institute's China Policy Initiative. New York Times says that brace is the word. Brace for a joint nuclear weapon strike by China, Russia, and North Korea. And that this is the Biden administration's response and the president in March secretly agreeing, well, confidentially agreeing, to upgrade the U.S. arsenal in anticipation of such a threat. Steve, a very good evening to you. Yes, I agree with Richard Nixon that the greatest of all is a peacemaker for a president. But making peace with people who are threatening a nuclear strike that your own president, now retired, says is immediately threatened seems a peculiar hands out to an enemy. How to regard this gesture by the Harris-Walz campaign, and how is it thought of in Beijing, if we can speculate? Good day to you, Steve.
Well, John, there's a couple of bits of perspective on this. Just from my point of view, someone who's worked on platforms in my own party, there's not really a day in operational policymaking where people in the White House or the National Security Committee begin their deliberations based on the text of a platform. And under normal circumstances, you would hope it gives an indication of how leaders or their supporting party think. In this instance, it's a little bit more complicated in that this platform was written for Joe Biden. And the assumption of a second Biden term. And so there's still an open question what its relevance or staying power would be under the best of circumstances with the new version of the Harris campaign and what might be a new administration. What makes for a sensible China policy is open question in that there has been the Obama policy approach that was largely dialogue. And talk of some competition, the Biden approach where tariffs remained in place, but they avoided the words like decoupling in favor of de-risking. And then there's sort of this late in the game mention of the nuclear challenge, a nuclear weapons challenge, the potential for a breakout or a strike. And yes, it's actually true that the U.S. nuclear arsenal has been underappreciated, undertested, underdeveloped for a very long time. Meanwhile, China, first and foremost, has gone very fast and far ahead on testing development of new nuclear weapons capabilities. So this challenge isn't something that is hitting the Biden administration fresh in its terminal stage. It was one of those day one things that they knew of. And frankly, several administrations have faced. I think Beijing looks at this and somewhat befuddlement about, wouldn't the U.S. national security system already know this kind of thing? And haven't we actually kind of gotten a nice catch up or net advantage in that the United States has been sleeping on this capability for the better part of the last generation? So I think this is a net advantage to Beijing. And I would hope that on a bipartisan basis, the United States would get serious about this capability, because if you want to be a peacemaker, you first better have the ultimate deterrent in place.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, I find this whole discussion of the U.S. having a China policy actually a little perplexing, because I don't think we really do. All we do is we just react to China. And I think it's shown by this change in nuclear policy. Biden, we know personally, is very, very anti-nuclear weapon. And the fact that he would even think of increasing the U.S. arsenal suggests that basically China's driving this, not us.
I think that's a fair point. Senator Biden, for decades, was an advocate for arms control and nuclear reduction. And for the most part, that was restraint among those, quote unquote, responsible. But those willing to be irresponsible could break out or get ahead. And that's kind of what I think history has taught us in this regard. We have the added discomfort at this point of wondering, is this even the thought or judgment of President Biden himself, our commander in chief, or is this coming from elsewhere? Is this something that's coming from the intelligence community, the Pentagon, and the senior staff of the White House is moving it along? Because this is not something that President Biden has talked about himself publicly in any detail. And so I think there's just a number of troubling layers of this, but I agree 100% that for the longest time, the U.S. has just been reactive, not proactive and shaping in terms of the terms of our engagement with China.
Steve, in speaking with Europe in these last days, great curiosity about what a Harris-Walz administration means for the EU. Understand that. Is there similar great curiosity in Beijing and Shanghai about a Harris-Walz administration?
Well, there is, although I think they believe they have some advantages and reasons for comfort or confidence. One of those reasons is that the vice presidential nominee, Governor Walz, has spent much of his adult life coming and going to China. And there has been a lot of dialogue with him over the years to where they feel like they have a pretty reasonable gauge and some influence over how he thinks about dealing with China. He's allowed to say tough things on human rights, but always comes down on the accommodating engagement side of the policy questions. And so I think they feel somewhat comfortable on that. The presidential nominee on the Democrat side, Vice President Harris, is somewhat of a blank slate in these regards. She has gone to Beijing and had some interactions, but they're not in depth. And so I think there might be some concern that they don't know where this might go, but all indicators are it would stay very much in the mainstream conventional engagement lane of U.S.-China policy talk.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Steve, every U.S. president gives China a honeymoon of some duration. It doesn't matter whether they're Republicans, Democrats, whether they're hawks, whether they're doves. China gets some period where the new administration thinks it can improve on the policies of the previous one. It would seem to me that with Harris, they're certainly going to get that period of honeymoon. And so apparently, I think they must believe that they would want someone who is going to give them a grace period at a time when they're really in trouble right now. I mean, their regime is on the brink. So it would seem to me that right now they must be voting Democratic.
We have less than
I think you're exactly right about that grace period notion. That's one of the oddities of this particular matchup. Harris should represent continuity rather than change, but she and her campaign and most of the convention is trying to pivot towards something new and different. And her relative lack or shallowness of engagement during her time as vice president on this maybe does make it more of a new administration. If Donald Trump happens to get elected, it's much less likely to be a fresh start because there is some experience and maybe baggage from term one. That would be a different set of circumstances. So I tend to agree they would rather deal with the on-the-job training grace period rather than someone coming back hungry to push quickly on these policy matters from a degree of familiarity.
Steve Yates, Gordon Chang, I'm John Batten.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.